You need to be the best teammate you can be so that they can give their best back to you.
Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Kim.
Welcome to Equine Body Talks, a podcast about opening the conversation on equine wellness.
Join us as we dive deeper into the whole body approach for your equine performance horses.
Spring is well underway, and horse people around the world are getting geared up to get back in the saddle. With the COVID crisis, it has delayed or canceled many shows, but this is a great time to reassess your horse's actual condition, not regarding your chosen discipline, but determining where they have appropriate development and where they have their weaknesses. In doing so, you will have a healthy, fit horse that will be able to then go on and condition for your specific sport. Today, we're going to be talking with Kayla Stewart. Kayla has been a client of mine for many years, and her horse Leo has been my stand-up for how a personally developed program, along with consistency, can make incredible changes. He's proof that it can happen quite quickly and with an older horse who has been in a preferred posture for a long time. He was able to be so competitive and stay in the game for so long because of good genetics, cow sense, a great training program, and pure athleticism. He had been maintained in a great program year after year, but eventually slight compensations started to add up. Add to that an enormous heart with a love for his discipline, and Leo competed well past where a lot of cutting horses do. It wasn't a surprise when he started to show signs his body was wearing down. He was 12 years old and had been doing the sport since he had been started as a 2-year-old and shown in his first futurity at 3. A little caveat here by saying that this conversation isn't about whether riding horses at a younger age is right or wrong. It's a fact of our performance horses that the majority of our disciplines have horses showing at young ages. What we are going to discuss, however, is ways we can then help these young athletes through body work. As any mammal grows, humans included, there are factors that happen to their lives that will determine how they develop and grow. For horses, being prey animals, their instincts are not to show weakness and potentially become someone's next meal. By doing that, they then create postural changes so as to keep moving within as normal a frame as possible and not bringing attention to themselves. These altered compensation patterns will help them for a while, but eventually the body is not able to sustain that posture and soreness will show up. In Leo's case, as we mentioned, he had gotten to a point where that athleticism and heart weren't going to be able to carry him through another year without addressing that postural problem. He had soreness through his hocks off and on, which had always been addressed, but also caused him to want to shift excessive weight onto his forehand and then drop his sternum between his front limbs. In case you aren't as familiar with equine anatomy, horses do not have a clavicle between their forelimbs. Instead, they have a sling of muscles that support the sternum and enable that independent movement of the front limbs. When extra force is put onto the front end due to compensation from the hind end, as one potential reason, the horse will have a harder time elevating the shoulders and will have restricted range of motion. It will also cause them to drop the back, especially right behind the withers, and use the neck as leverage for movement. Leo was a classic case of this, and while he was in decent fitness, he was having mobility issues that impeded his ability to move around the pen as effectively as he could previously. A lot of horses at this point would be retired from showing. Their once stellar performance has become mediocre, and they would potentially be sold to another discipline or to a lower level rider just starting out and not requiring as much for them. In Leo's case, he had an owner that believed in him and knew the old boy had another kick at the can yet up his sleeve. So I want to just welcome Kayla now to the podcast. And wondering, how have you been through all this COVID situation, Kayla? Are you looking forward to a potential show season yet to come?
Hey, Kim. I have to say things have been pretty much business as usual for me. You know, we're doing a few extra things to be safe around the barn. But where I work at a private facility, so we don't have a lot of foot traffic. I've been really lucky this year. I have a very nice three-year-old that I'm making an attempt at training on my own with some help. And that's really been keeping me motivated and looking forward to the future. It's been a little bit harder sometimes to find that motivation on the older horses with the show season being up in the air. But I am definitely looking forward to being able to get back out and on the road again.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be an interesting summer. I know we have people all over listening, but here in Alberta anyways, we're still under, even though things are starting to relax a little bit, we're still under the guideline of no more than 15 to gather. So unfortunately, currently our show season is not able to get back up and running, but hopefully this summer, fingers crossed, we're taking it month by month. So... But I've been wanting to do this chat with you for quite a while, and I think now is the best time ever to be doing it because everyone's eager to get back riding and hopefully, as I said, back showing again. So it's really a good starting off point to introduce people to Leo and what an awesome story he has to tell people about conditioning, and especially conditioning, as we just said, the older horses that sometimes maybe, you know, we kind of say to ourselves, ah, they've been there, done that. They're fine. They know their job. We just have to get on and go. But in reality is they need as much support in some cases, maybe even a little bit more because they are older. So I think I can't wait for people to hear all about Mr. Leo. Can you start just by telling us a little bit more about yourself and how you came to start working and showing horses?
Yeah, for sure. I was very lucky. I grew up in a horse family. My grandpa bought my first pony when I was two, uh-huh. And I hit the show pen as an avid lead line competitor, and I have been hooked ever since. Growing up, I rode primarily English, as that was my family's background. Mm-hmm. But at 16, I was introduced to cutting, and you could say since then I have been mildly obsessed. For the past number of years, I've been working as a barn manager and loper for Welland, who's also a longtime non-pro competitor in the cutting industry here in Alberta.
Yeah, Welland is one of the heart and soul, I would say, for the Alberta Cutting Horse Association in terms of how much he's given back. So great shout out to him. What made you want to start showing cutting horses if you started off in the English world then?
When I was 16, I like I said, I got a job after school working for Welland. I got to lope a few horses, you know, kind of working around the barn. Was there on the weekends and stuff. He had a good old gelding, Mr. Stolen Freckles, a big bay horse, and he let me jump on him one day at Billany Lane Spates and work a cow for the first time, and I couldn't believe the intelligence and the athleticism of the cutting horses. It absolutely blew my mind. That kind of coupled with the adrenaline rush. You know, I really enjoyed the hunter ring when I was riding English. I really liked the precision that you had to put into it, but I also like, you know, the speed and adrenaline that came out of the jumper ring. Mm-hmm. So this was really a great combination of both, and it really just became my dream sport.
Yeah, it's a bit of an addiction, that's for sure. Oh. I was introduced to it by Larry Sands, another non-pro cutter here in Alberta many years ago, who started out just starting some two-year-olds for him or doing his chores here and there through the summer and let me get on his good old cutting mare at the end of the season and just grinned ear to ear and have never looked back ever since. So it's a very addictive sport.
Yes, it is.
Can you introduce us a little bit to Miss Nice?
Welland really likes to pick names that kind of remind us of where the horses have come from. So, yeah. Well, Leo awesome. It is. I affectionately refer to him as Master Leo. I think he's earned it. He was born at Dr. Miller's by Cremona. He came to live at Welland's as a weanling. And he was started at home. And he was kind of little, so we didn't really want to push him, but he showed so much early promise. He then went to Jerry Hansmith to start his formal education there. And he was there throughout his aged event career. And then he came home, and he's been home ever since. And we've hauled him to Jerry's and also to Doug Reinhardt's for, you know, some tune-ups and for quite a few lessons. And that's sort of, you know, been his journey along so far.
So you've known him then his entire life, right, from the day he came back to Wellands.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. That's fun. What was he like as a young horse then? You said mentioned he was a little bit smaller or whatever, but how did he start his show career?
Leo was an absolute terror as a youngster. There was never any doubt in our minds that Leo needed to be a gelding. He has a larger than life personality.
He does.
One of his favorite things as a little guy was to grab onto your ponytail.
Oh.
And give it a shake.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thankfully, he outgrew this really awful habit. But to this day, Leo is the boss. And what Leo wants, Leo gets. He has a very unique whinny. And when he thinks I should be paying attention to him, or, you know, maybe dinner is a few minutes late, you can hear it all over the farm.
Yes.
Terry actually told me when he was training him that you kind of made suggestions to Leo, and you tricked him into thinking that the things you were asking him were actually his idea.
Yeah.
Because he does not appreciate being ordered to do anything, and that's never going to get you a good result. But that being said, he loves his job more than any horse I've ever ridden, in cutting or basically otherwise, and he puts every ounce of himself into every run that he makes out there, and he just really, really enjoys it.
He have during his show career, was he a pretty healthy guy, or what kind of things did you guys have to do to help manage him?
Early in his show career, we were really very lucky, and he has always stayed quite sound. He's a very, very phenomenal athlete, and he is very, very smart, and very smart about the way he uses himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in doing so, he was able to avoid a lot of injuries. Like, he never would really get himself into a trouble spot.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was feeling a little bit under the weather, you know, he'd get a little checkup, or he'd get some time off to rest and recuperate. As the years went by and, you know, there was a little bit more wear and tear on his body, he would get some yearly joint injections on his hocks.
Mm-hmm.
If the vet kind of deemed them as necessary. And then we also went ahead and used some Legend on him. Generally, he'd get one every 3 months, or, you know, if we had something big coming up, just to make sure that he was really feeling good.
Yeah. And so how old would he have been when you started doing the Legend and maybe some of the injections as well? Did he have that right from being a three-year-old, or?
No, we were very lucky. He, I think he was probably, eight before we went ahead and had to start injecting.
Okay.
We did inject once in a fetlock after a trip to Nationals in Reno, but that's the only time we've ever had to go ahead and inject there. Otherwise, it's just been a little bit in the hocks, mm-hmm. probably, like you said, from about when he was eight on.
Okay. Very cool. That's not very common for cutters, that's for sure. So
no.
That's great to hear. Now, I know we've talked the fact that you have known Leo all of your life, and he has known you since you've been his primary caretaker. But at what point did you start showing him? When did he start? When did you own him and start showing him?
The fall of 2016, actually, is really a big one. Leo actually finally became all mine. I had another show horse at the time, and he had ended up with a fairly serious suspensory injury,
mm-hmm.
and was going to be out for the rest of the season and was requiring quite a bit of rehab. And so I was kind of on foot and a little bit down in the mouth, and Welland didn't want to see me that way, and he wanted me to have a reason to be enthusiastic and get back into the shows and everything. So he'd had another horse as well at the time. So he handed over the reins and the papers, and September of 2016, all my dreams came true, and Leo was actually mine.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, you guys have made a great team. Not that he didn't have a great home prior to that, but I think he certainly has found his place with you. So that's good. And when did you first start noticing that his performance wasn't quite where it used to be?
You know, I think I got Leo late in his 10-year-old year. And I think we kind of noticed around that 8, 9 that, you know, things just weren't quite what they used to be. Mm-hmm. We kind of had just chalked it up to the fact that he was maybe getting a little bit older and, you know, a little bit body sore, and that he was also just getting a little bit show smart. And just had kind of figured out how to work the system and cut some corners where he could.
Right.
But I had never lost faith in him. I knew he could do it again if he felt like it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the great thing about you, is that you're the eternal optimist.
I try.
Yeah. But I mean, to this point, very fortuitous for Mr. Leo as well, or Master Leo, as we call him, because you did still see the potential that he has, and had at that point. So, I think that's a key thing as well, that, you know, it's a partnership like no other, especially in cutting.
Yes, it really, really is. And I'm very lucky to have Leo as my partner. You know, we seem to just get each other. Well, Illinois says, well, he told my mom once, you know, I really loved Leo, but Leo's always really loved Kayla.
Yeah.
So Leo had to be Kayla's horse. And it's so true. We've always just been two little peas in a pod, Leo and I.
Yeah. Fun. But I think it's also fair to say, you know, your comment you made about people thinking about, well, he's kind of just an older cutter now. And that's something that happens very much so, especially in our sport, where it is such a physically demanding sport that they do it from such a young age as well, that really when a horse starts to hit that 10-year-old mark, for the most part, there are exceptions out there for sure, but for the most part, those horses are kind of deemed to be no longer at their peak. So they'll either be put down levels in terms of for beginner riders, not riders necessarily, as showers, people in the lower level classes, or they'll be retired completely. Maybe if they're a mare put out to pasture for breeding purposes. But a lot of them, you know, aren't necessarily retired or sound, or come to that part of their life being completely sound. And they're not that they're washed out by any means, but I think a lot of people just don't look at the potential like you did with Leo and say, no, there's still more there that we just have to suss out a little bit. So I think kudos to you on that one.
Thanks, Kim. I think I was just like, holy man, I finally got this really cool horse. I got to figure out how to make it work.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you've done an exceptional job, which we're going to start chatting about here. But at what point, or why is it, I guess I should ask you, why did you look at body work to help him as opposed to, I mean, I know that you do other things as well, but was there any other modalities that you sought out?
When it comes to the why was I looking at the body work, I was kind of at wit's end, to be honest. You know, 2016 had finished fairly well for us, and I had the highest of hopes coming into 2017, and it was just like all the wheels had fallen off the cart. You know, and I was kind of at wit's end. What do I do? You know, is it true? Like, is he just maybe not got it anymore? You know, he's 11, and I just wasn't sure. And then there that I thought, you know what, I know who I'm going to call. I've known Kim for a long time, had the greatest respect for her, even way back in the day, her loper days. She was always my idol.
Oh my gosh, don't tell me that.
I always had to kind of gather up my courage, and I asked her to come and take a look at Leo. I really, really like your approach, Kim, to the horses. I really love the amount of knowledge that you have, and that you're always willing to, you know, go and seek out more knowledge. And you also knew the intricacies of cutting and what exactly these horses needed to do and what, you know, their bodies go through on the journey through their show life. So I figured if there was anybody out there that could help us, You could.
Oh, well. And
so here we are.
Here we are. And it's been ever since. So,
yes.
Well, I appreciate that. I certainly was thrilled when you called me and brought me in as part of Leo's wellness team, so that we could help him, because, I always admired him as a performance horse and had respect for you as well in terms of your abilities in the loping pen and how you treat your horses. So it was a match made in heaven for sure. You also use Burwash Equine Vet here in Alberta quite extensively. I think one thing I want to point out to everybody is how proactive you are. So can you tell us a little bit that connection you have with Burwash and the program you had him on specifically that year, which I know you continue to with their wellness checks?
Yeah, so Burwash runs a really great equine wellness program. They have various levels for your athletes, so it's kind of tuned to, you know, how in depth do you want to be. I love it that it's great you can pay monthly. So there's things like his vaccinations, sheath cleaning, teeth, an overall wellness check, a lameness exam. All of that is kind of included in there, along with your fecal egg counts, some legend. And it's just been a really great way of, you know, me being aware of everything that he needs and being able to look at the calendar and plan it all out. It's also a great way to really build that relationship with your vet. You know, then they know him, you know, they know what kind of program he's on. They know the efforts that I'm putting in. So anytime I had questions or concerns, you know, they were always happy to come to the phone and just talk stuff over. You know, we kind of tweaked his diet a little bit. We went with the Platinum line of products along with their joint supplement. And he looked great, and he felt great. You know, we've always done things like the yearly hawk injections just to see, you know, how are those joints looking? Is there any arthritis? Is it progressing? And I've just been very, very impressed with how, you know, they've made it easy to stay on top of making sure that he feels good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I think I was really impressed when you were talking to me about the program that they had you on, and made it a very easy program, like you say, with monthly payments even and whatnot. So kudos to them as well for having that. So one of the things that I noticed, so it was you got him the fall of 2016, and then I first saw him, I believe it was May of 2017. So you had brought him or had started to bring him back from his winter off. And then I probably even would have had the first show of the season or two, maybe even under your belt at that point, because we start our show season here in April. So we had that initial visit, and we, after going through the assessment, saw that he had started to develop some compensation patterns. When we chatted about that, what were your thoughts?
Oh, Kim, I felt horrible.
Oh,
okay. I really felt just awful for letting him get into such a state. You know, I certainly didn't mean to or anything. It was just, it came out of a place where you don't really know any better. You know, you think, well, leg my horse up, I'll trot some circles, I'll put some sweat on him, and, you know, he's old, he knows the ball game, we'll just keep going. But I don't think I realized the extent to which his body is put together and then the way that it needs to work. I also felt, after I got over feeling terrible, very determined to educate myself and to do whatever it was I needed to do to get him to feel healthy and to feel strong again.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I feel badly hearing that you I made you feel so bad. That was
you
not
didn't
the
make
intention.
Me feel bad, Kim. It just was that made me feel bad. He was in such a state.
Well, and I don't know that you got him to that state. To be fair, the majority of the horses even will start their postural choice, just like humans do, even from when they're young, weanlings kind of thing, or, you know, even before that. So I don't know that it was you that put him in this state. I know it wasn't. I think it was just developmental as well as, you know, as I say, a bit compensation over the years, and for the type of sport that he was involved in as well. It's pretty demanding, as we've talked about. So it definitely wasn't all on you by any means. But the biggest thing, just so people have a visual while we're talking about this, is that Leo had really started to drop his sternum, push it down between his forelimbs, and he had a very pronounced drop back, especially right behind the withers. And then had tension, a ton of tension all through the hind quarter hamstring quad tissue. So, which again, not uncommon at all for cutters in terms of the way that they have to utilize their body for the type of work that we're asking them to do, working off their hind end like that, but then also being down low and caddy in front of a cow. So it for sure, he fit within the parameters or what most cutters or the majority of cutters do look like. But it just at 12 years old wasn't serving his purpose to stay sound anymore. And not that he was lame by any means, but he certainly wasn't able to keep up with that same athletic ability that he was just able to overpower when he was much younger. So I think I'm finding that now in my 40s, I'm the same way. I powered through many days as a loper in my 20s. No way I could even lope two horses like I used to at this point in my life. So
I'm starting to feel you, Kim.
Yeah. Age is a funny thing.
In my 30s.
Yeah. yeah, no, it's all good. But the key point was that you recognize that there was something that wasn't quite right with him. We came up with an exercise program, and his exercise program specifically included doing isometric exercises, in hand work, as well as some riding work. So for those that are listening, don't quite understand what an isometric exercise is. It's a form of exercise which involves the static contraction of a muscle without any visible movement in the angle of the joint. So by doing things such as the belly lifts, so it's literally where you tickle them underneath the breast. Well, in his case, it was just past the breastbone. So it was at the lowest point of his back is where you're going to tickle and you're going to get him to raise up his stomach. His back, so that his stomach, everything comes up, but you want to get that rounding so that he has that range of motion. Other simple things such as the caudal tail pulls, or pulling the tail off to the side. But these are really simple exercises that, you know, again, it makes it look like there's not a whole lot, just even walking over poles or doing walk halt transitions. So things again that look like, oh, there's not a whole lot to that, but it's that trying to get the cognizant ability of the horse to know that there's a pole that he has to now actually lift his leg up and over, as opposed to just dragging that front leg forward, which often happens when you have those drop sternum horses. So that was another key point. And then I have to give Kayla again a lot of recognition for her riding skills, because when you ask somebody to do certain riding techniques to help bring the horse's posture back into a better frame, most people won't have a whole lot of clue what that feels like or what that looks like. They only ever think about, well, they have to drop their head and bend their neck, and then they'll be fine. Whereas it's such a feel to be able to know when that horse is collected properly and driving underneath your seat. So that's also something that was a huge part of Leo's comeback, was the fact that Kayla, you had that already, especially coming from your English riding, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think the English riding, it was silly as you sometimes feel like you look in the cutting pen riding a little bit more like an English rider. It really did give such a great understanding of how their bodies are supposed to work and you know, what things are supposed to feel like when you get that on the contact, you know, on the bit kind of feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that needs to be developed, and but it is such a huge part of it. So being able to work with a trainer or a coach that can help you with that, if you feel like you don't have it. And I mean, to be fair, I've ridden many, many horses in my life, and I still feel like I need the coaching and the help with it. So it's not something that, you know, we all just have serendipitously. We need to work on it.
Well, we can always all use a second set of eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, Kayla, again, you need to get a lot of credit here for the work that you put in. So it was easy for me to come in, do a quick assessment on Leo, give him a fun massage, and then leave you with all the work. So when I asked you to start Leo on his program and indicated it needed to be done consistently, which meant every day, even in your case, twice a day, because there was a goal set that you wanted to get him to the Calgary Stampede, which was only a couple of months away. So we wanted to make sure that we had him in that best ability possible to perform there. I was expecting moderate response. And to be fair, this is the majority of people that I work with. Do give moderate response, not because they don't care, but it can be time consuming. It's not a lot of physical effort, but it definitely is time consuming. And so, you know, if they might start off all gung ho, and then all of a sudden they kind of start to wane a little bit because they think that we're not really doing a whole lot anyways. The horse isn't really moving. How he's not breaking a sweat, certainly. So how is this really helping them out? So in Leo's case, Kayla, you really wanted to help him, and it was your dedication that, as I said, really brought him to where he was. So that has to be recognized as well.
Thanks, Kim.
Often people complain because of that they don't have time to do the exercises, or there's too many exercises, or whatever type of excuse there might be. How did you find it to incorporate them into your daily routine with Leo?
You know, I wouldn't say they were Leo's favorite part of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But with lots of cookies and lots of perseverance, we kind of settled into a really good routine.
Yeah.
I found the more that we did them and the more consistent I was about doing them, the less of a fuss he would put up about it. He was kind of just like, okay, here we go. I got to do all these things. And then it's over with and I can get onto something I'd prefer to do instead.
Yeah.
But he will do them. I wouldn't say, you know, it was hard to do or anything, but they definitely did take dedication.
Mm-hmm.
And they did take some time management. So I made sure on riding days to make a point of doing them before and after I rode. And then I really, really tried hard to make sure that he did them at least once a day on days that he had off. But, you know, if you missed a day because life got in the way, you know, I tried not to beat myself. I kind of said to myself, you know, if my day has to be a little bit longer to make sure that these fit in, then that, so be it. You know, this is a goal I set. This is something that's very important to me, and it's something that's worth the effort. Never mind, Leo himself is worth the effort, because he means the world to me. And it just, the proof you saw in putting in the effort made it more than worth it.
Oh, absolutely. I was shocked, I have to say. When I came back, I saw him, I think it was about 3 weeks after that initial assessment. So it would have been probably beginning of June. And I almost didn't recognize him. I mean, he's got some pretty distinctive markings, so of course I knew who he was. But at the same time, he had already made some super impressive changes in his body that I wouldn't have thought necessarily was the same horse. When did you start to see some of those results? I know if you see a horse every day or anything every day, it's maybe not as easy to see the changes, but were you starting to see them?
I was starting to see them. I would say even within a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I know we kind of first saw them at the beginning of May. And then the around the 20th week of May, we have a big competition there at the Black Elk Cutting in Pinoca.
Yeah.
And I had really seen a change in his performance there. So not only was I starting to see a little bit of a change in the way he was carrying his body, I was really starting to see a change in the way he was able to move under saddle and move doing his job, and probably he seemed happier. You know, if I sit and think about it, I do. There was definitely a change in attitude as well. I think the belly lifts and the side tail pulls are probably my favorite. Certainly not his, but they were the ones that I felt like for him, you could see the biggest results, especially like you say with the severe drop back that he had. That one was really cool. And the side tail pulls, you can feel so much of the muscle development in that stifle, but I think that one's really cool too.
Yeah.
You really see your visual results there, but just in the way he was carrying himself and everything, there was just a huge improvement.
Yeah. We have, you were very kind to give us some of the before and afters of Leo. So I'm going to post those up on the social media for people to be able to see, because it is super impressive. And really, we're talking about a pretty short time frame all in. And you had already brought him up to a point where he was in some good fitness in terms of his air and being able to, you know, build some muscle, but it was more the exercise program that we had developed was about targeting those weak areas and trying to get him to hold himself better. So, and I think back to the same point you did say as well, is you were very cognizant of what he was and was not able to do at certain points during this. And when you were then able to increase some of the exercises, so you were doing them a little bit longer holds or being able to increase the repetitions of them. But I think everybody needs to also be aware when you're doing any of these exercise type conditioning programs, just understand your horse's level of fatigue and make sure that you never push them past that point of fatigue. So, you know, maybe if you did have a long ride and you're doing some exercises afterwards, they can't do as many reps as they did the day before just because the ride itself was more intense. So super important to be able to recognize those signs as well, because we certainly don't want to bring them to a point of injury by any means. So I often ask people what their goals are prior at the first part of the year, prior to putting them on any kind of program. That first year we worked with Leo together, what were your goals? Can you tell us how those ended up as well? Because I'm not.
I guess my biggest overall goal was that I wanted Leo to get back to being stellar Leo again. And I wanted everyone to remember how amazing he is. But I really, really wanted to show him at the big Calgary Stampede Cutting.
Yeah.
So that was probably my big, you know, motivator as far as time-wise went, was looking at the Stampede. But, you know, I wanted to get him there in a way that he was fit, healthy, happy, and safe. So, you know, just the way that it all panned out was incredible. I mean, he carried me that year to so many big dreams that I was almost scared to dream. And I'm just so grateful to him and to you and to the Burwash team and to Welland and everyone for, you know, getting us there and taking that team approach to help us really be the best that we could be.
Yeah, and I mean, 2017 really was such a stellar year for you guys.
It was.
Yeah. So for those that, again, don't know, that maybe are listening, the Calgary Stampede show is always the first week of July that it runs. And so you, again, we started this in May. You had a couple of shows in between, and then you showed in Calgary. And it's not a show that is by any means an easy show, because we often get a lot of American competitors come up and a lot of competitors that are vying for world standings as well. So there's quite a bit of money up for earnings, and it draws some of the top horses in cutting, period. So that was pretty spectacular for me as part of the team to sit there in the stands and cheer you guys on, because not only did you then make it, so there's two goes, right? It's the first go and then finals. And your first go, you ended up winning. Am I right? The first go? Or?
Oh, yeah. We split the win for the first go.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. It was just absolutely anything beyond what I could have ever dreamed of. But Leo loves the Panic Stampede. He loves loud music, and he loves people cheering. So that is kind of the perfect storm for him to be down at the Stampede Grounds. Yeah. He just seems to come alive a little bit more when there's a lot of action going on. So it was just really, you know, something that, one of those things you don't dare to dream it, that came true. And I just am so grateful to Leo for being there with me through that.
Yeah, he is quite the performer, that's for sure.
Yes, he sure is. The same shirt in the go-round and in the finals, because I figured it went so well in the go-round, I'd keep that lucky shirt going.
You are somebody that's quite superstitious.
Yes, and poor Leo walked to the herd in very pale pink polos that matched my very pale pink shirt. So he's a trooper, that guy.
He is. He is. He can pull off any colors. He's good. So prior to putting Leo, having me come out and do all this conditioning type and exercise program, what would you normally have done for a horse for their conditioning?
You know, I would have kind of the same thing that I started off with him that year. You know, you bring him in kind of in January, and he's all kind of chubby and hairy. And, you know, you chuck your saddle on him and you walk and, you know, ask him to do some long and low stuff and maybe do some trotting and put a little sweat on him and do that for a few weeks, you know, then incorporate a little bit of loping and just kind of build up that air and think you've got him fit. You know, I just kind of assumed that was enough at that point. But I have come to learn since that there's an awful lot more that we can do as riders to really give our horses the best opportunity that we can.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's such a learning curve for all of us. So on that vein, if somebody were to come up and ask you what the importance level of doing postural assessment, body work is, targeted exercises like this on a horse, what would you say to it?
I would just tell them it is so, so important. I cannot stress to you enough how important it is. You know, just go and find someone that you trust, find someone with some training, and just get as much knowledge from them as you can. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of what you learn can be used broad spectrum on a lot of the different horses that we're riding, but it is so important to have someone look at your specific athlete and really build them a program that is tuned to what they need and, you know, put in the work, put in the time, and you will be so, so happy with the results. Like, it was just, it's astounding to me still to sit and think what a difference that it made in him and in his movement and his ability to do his job and his happiness with performing his job. Because Leo loves to cut, and when he's feeling good, he's able to do it to the best of his ability. And I think that just makes him happier. I can't stress enough how important it really is.
Yeah. I think you're right. When they can do it well and they're happy and comfortable, they're excelling. That it's so bred into them. They want to do this. So, and I think that goes for any discipline. It doesn't have to be just that they're cowbred and really want to cut, but you know, there's horses out there that lunch the rest of the year. Can you talk to us a little bit about those?
Yeah, I think probably one of the most fun ones aside from Stampede that stands out in my mind is the show, the Black Elk Show at Finoka. I was asked to ride a huge 152. He'd never ridden Leo before, so it was really, really exciting to watch. Leo was a 147 for me. We managed to win the non-pro part of it as well. But the really cool part was that they'd had a Calcutta, and Welland had bought our team.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just so cool that, you know, Welland won, we won, and Leo won, and it was just, it was really, really cool for all of us, and it was just a neat memory to have. And then from there, you know, there was Calgary. We went to the Canadian Supreme as well, and Leo laid down a pretty smoking run in the finals of the 7-Up Non-Pro, and probably one of the funnest runs I've had. He really had to get out there and get some stuff done, and one of my favorite pictures I have of him is actually from that run. Mm-hmm. And then he, you know, he was top three in Canada in the non-pro. He was reserved in the non-pro for the Alberta Cutting Horse Association. He reserved the Elite Series that the Alberta Cutting Horse Association puts on. And the really neat thing is I was away. I went to Australia January of 2018. And when I got home, I had a package from the MCHA, and there was a set of spurs in there. And he had won the area.
Oh,
yeah. So that was something that was really, really kind of, you know, just a big surprise to find in the mail. And I'm just so grateful to have had Leo. You know, I knew his whole life how special he was. And it just really means the world to myself. And also I know to Welland as well, to have had him been so good for all of us for so long.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we talk here obviously about the conditioning program specifically, but there is a lot to be said about the horse himself and how special he is. So, I think that needs to be said.
He is, but without that conditioning program, Kim, I don't think that 2017 would have gone the way that it did.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Just. And once again, reiterating how you as the owner and rider made that difference, because it doesn't matter what kind of conditioning program we put together. If it's not followed through, then it doesn't do any good to the horse. So, you know, you guys really were a phenomenal team that took care of each other that year and made it to be one of the most successful, you know, that he's had and that you've had. So, yeah.
Just been, you know, I really do think, you know, when you're looking at the competing or really looking at anything you're doing with the horses, you have to look at it like you guys are a team.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be the best teammate you can be for them so that they can be the best teammate back again.
Oh, yeah. Perfect point. Yeah. So I have to say, Leo has been my poster boy for how well he responded to the program. But really his success, as I said, is also due to you, Kayla. So I can't thank you enough for being such an invested owner and an integral part of his wellness team. And I just really want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and sharing his story and yours.
Well, and thank you so much, Kim, for having us. Leo's my favorite thing to talk about, of course. So it's been really fun to share his story, and I hope that he inspires some people to, you know, get out there and put in that little bit of extra work, and you'll be so happy with the results.
Yeah, it will pay off for sure. All right. Well, thanks again, Kayla, and you have a good evening.
Hey, you too. Take care, Kim.
Bye.
We'd love to have you subscribe to our podcast and get all the new episodes.
Please rate, review, and share with your friends so we can grow and bring you topics you're most interested in.
Contact us through our website or on social media with your engagement.
The program we had Leo on is similar to the one that InHand Equine Therapy is putting together as part of their conditioning study with Energy Equine Vet Clinic. As a member of InHand Equine Therapy, I was able to participate in this study. We were able to track the changes to back tissue with ultrasound measurements at multiple times throughout the conditioning program. If you want to learn more about it, please check out the Facebook page for InHand Equine Therapy or Expand InHand Continuing Education. Here you can get additional information on it and the horses that were a part of it. There is also an online course launching very soon related to it for owners and body workers alike. Baseline condition is essential to any horse, in any discipline, at any age. The programs are not difficult. It just takes consistency. Talk with your body worker about helping you get your horse on the right track to set them up for success.
Thanks for joining us today. Reach out to our social media pages for more information on today's episode and lots of extras.